Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Your eyes have it. And you have Dr. Robert Abel Jr., the Wizard of Eyes.
Have you ever thought of blindness? Actually, blindness on a global scale? Well, there's world blindness, and it's one of the major scourges that affects so many people in so many ways, and we're all connected. And it's through people like Jim Quirk, who is my guest, who was the head of one of the predominant eye banks in the United States, that has helped define tissue donation, organ donation, and has helped provide influence, information, technique around the world. So I'm so happy to have Jim back with us today. And I was going to ask him, what are the major causes of corneal blindness first in this country and around the world, Jim?
Good morning. So the causes of corneal blindness vary widely between the United States and the rest of the world. In the U.S., as you can explain better than I can, pseudophakic bullous keratopathy, where damage to the cornea following cataract surgery many, many years ago, was the predominant indication for transplant. The rest of the world, corneas become scarred due to infections that are left untreated, or entropion, where the eyelids are actually turned inside out, and the lashes abrade the cornea and cause a lot of scarring.
And then you have infections galore, onchocercosis,
right,
trachoma, etc. And many of these people can't ever even get to a doctor, even if the doctor had sufficient antibiotics and instrumentation to help them.
Agreed. And once the tissue is scarred, I mean, depending on the severity, the scar, folks can walk around with a little bit of an impaired vision, or ultimately it could lead to blindness, in which case sometimes it can be treated with a cornea transplant if the folks are fortunate to live in an area of the world where corneal tissue is readily available. But if not, it's something that could plague them for the rest of their lives.
I met a French ophthalmologist who was in an auto accident and was laid up for 6 months recovering. He was a surgery resident and said to himself, what are the scourges in the world that we can fix? And he came up with eyes. You can fix corneas. You can treat glaucoma. You can even prevent and manage macular degeneration. And perhaps with corneas, we can do something. So he's one of the inventors of an artificial cornea in France. The question is, what would be best for people with corneal scarring in Africa or Asia, artificial or real tissue?
Well, I think from my perspective and from what we've seen in the world of science, there's no substitute for the human cornea. Unfortunately for folks in different parts of the world, the supply of donated corneas falls short of meeting the demand. India, for instance, there are close to a billion people there. They only recover about 45,000 corneas for transplant, but they need over 200,000. So you can see there's roughly a 5-to-1 shortage. That issue, it seems to be getting worse, and the United States can only do so much as far as providing excess tissue to these folks. The real challenge is to change the culture about donation around the world and ensure that folks are given the opportunity to donate, and then not only given the opportunity, but to understand the benefit of donating so they can help themselves out and their fellow citizens. You know, the United States does a great job, and other countries in Europe, in providing excess tissue, but we can no way meet the demand for the world stage.
Well, it's interesting because ophthalmologists and physicians have not been great in getting donations from grieving families. But eye banks such as yours and efforts such as you do has changed all of that, at least in the major cities in the United States. Are you getting enough tissue for at least the American ophthalmology needs?
So we are. Interestingly, in the United States, the demand for corneas has been met. As you can attest, the cornea transplantation has been done in the U.S. on a scheduled basis for over 20 years now. So folks who need a cornea transplant schedule it, and they go in on for surgery in their home in a couple of hours. What that's done is the practice of eye banking and more importantly, the practice of organ and tissue donation in the United States has gotten very good to the point where almost 50% of those who are eligible to donate go on to become donors. And the excess tissue from the U.S. Is sent overseas. Last week, we had the privilege of sending 9 corneas to Africa for a mission project. So 9 folks over the holiday were able to get transplanted that wouldn't have otherwise happened. So it's a very common practice here in the U.S., especially around the holidays, because cornea transplants are scheduled surgery now and elective surgery. Folks don't want to have it done around the holidays because they view it as an inconvenience, whereas the rest of the world is just grateful to have the opportunity. So we have many opportunities around the holidays to send excess corneas overseas, but as I said earlier, it in no way does it meet the demand that's out there.
I mean, it's interesting to put this in perspective. I had a resident who called me from Samoa, and he said he had two people who needed corneas, and he had a donor, but he had nothing to put the corneas in. I told him, get a blood test tube, remove the corneas, spin down the serum of each of these people, put the serum in the test tube, put the cornea in the test tube, and cap it. It'll last at least 28 to 36 hours, and you'll have time to schedule the surgery and make all the arrangements.
Right.
But that is an optimal situation. Most people do not have this opportunity, and they live with their blindness, and it's an occupational issue to the whole family that has to take care of them. So what about artificial corneas? Do you think that'll ever take off around the world?
I guess it all depends on why people need a transplant. So here in the U.S., the artificial cornea that we see most commonly is a keratoprosthesis, where they still use a human donor ring to secure the artificial in place, but it's really used as a treatment of last resort for folks who have had multiple transplants who keep rejecting and are looking for some restored vision. I mean, obviously, the quality of vision wouldn't be as good as it would be with a standard transplant, but I wish I could give you the answer and say that it will take off around the world. I know there's a lot of research being done in that field, but I'm not the expert on that. So I would have to defer to you and your opinion as to whether or not it would be successful in treating an overwhelming majority of folks who are suffering from corneal blindness.
I mean, I always thought of it. I have two patents on artificial corneas, but the problem is you have to have somebody to put them in, and the follow-up is immense.
Right.
That people have to be on antibiotics and steroids for long term, and they need access to medical care for observation.
Right.
So that is not going to do as well as if you can change the laws. What would you do as a law? Let's say India, Bhutan, and Ghana want to do something. The governments want to encourage something. What kind of law would you make that would encourage donation or demand donation?
So I think if it were up to me, and I had the option to pick the most ideal situation. Here in the United States, we have what's called an opt-in registry, where in order to become an organ and tissue donor, you have to declare that that's what you want to do. Parts of Europe have switched to an opt-out system, whereas everyone is presumed to be a donor until they notify the authorities they do not want to be a donor. So if you look at it that way, if you make the system an opt-out system, I think you would naturally increase the percentage of donors worldwide, and then you would begin to meet this demand. The challenge is with anything, you know, you have various beliefs, and some beliefs are pro-donation, some beliefs are not pro-donation. So finding a happy medium, I think, would be important. But it all boils down to, you know, grassroots education, I think, and understanding that the ability that you have to leave a gift behind once you're no longer needing your vessel here on Earth.
I mean,
you did say something interesting. If I could jump back in real quickly, you mentioned about the fact that you had colleagues who couldn't store their tissue. That's one of the great things about medical technology in the United States. We have the ability to bank these corneas for 2 weeks. If that could be done around the world, that would make tremendous advancements into relieving corneal blindness in these underdeveloped countries.
Well, you do an amazing job, and Lions Eye Bank in Delaware Valley is a leader around the world, and I'm just proud to see all of you accomplished and to support it, and I know you'll continue to increase the harvest for people and share with blindness around the world. So eye banking may not seem important to everyone in the audience, but donation certainly is. It is a thoughtful thing that is a gift that keeps on living, and the grieving family has something to really wonder about and know that something is carrying on. This is Rob Abel, the Wizard of Eyes, on RadioMD.com. Listen to this segment or any segment at your leisure.